Ryan on?
I don't know. If he's not, I will knock. Ryan, are you on? He's walking into your office now.
Okay.
Good morning, this is Rob. Rob is on.
Hey, Rob, it's Larry, Ryan, and Barry.
Hey, how are you?
Perfect. I'm well, thank you. What is on your mind today?
Well, how have you been? We've made progress. Things are going very well. As a group, we're tracking up about 12% revenue this year. So that's good, considering the market's been pretty flat. So we're not getting a ton of help from our managed money or anything like that. We have done, at this point, all of our clients are scheduled. So we did get through that, which is very exciting. We've given away the easy relationships to give away. We've probably given away dozens of relationships at this point. We probably still have another dozen or so that we should do that we've kind of been waiting to bring more people on, and you know, some people we're just keeping as butlers because it's getting harder to get rid of the people. Overall, we brought an intern in a couple of weeks ago as well. She's helping us clean up the book with positions, going through all of our mutual fund families, also helping us get some more marketing materials together. So overall, we're making a lot of headway. Larry was out of town for a couple of weeks on vacation, and Barry was out of town for a couple of weeks on vacation, and then he was in town but out of office for a couple of weeks dealing with his family health issues and so forth. So it's been challenging to have any type of consistent routine going around here, but we do feel like we've been nudging the ball forward somewhat. That's kind of where we stand.
Okay,
so we're doing supernova light, not as light as we were before.
All right. So are you doing agendas and executive summaries?
Oh, we're doing a Monday meeting that we get together and discuss the practice. We're not doing agendas or executive summaries. Are you coming for the meeting?
For your client meetings?
No. No, we're not doing agendas and executive summaries.
Not yet.
Okay. Not yet. But after today, you will be, right?
It's one of the things that we've talked about that we know we need to do, ultimately get there, to kind of bring the three heads together, or three different minds together, thinking a little more collectively.
Well, let me just say, as a client, it just takes you guys to a different level. What I always hear from FAs is all the reasons it is inconvenient for them. I don't hear about why it's a good thing for the client. And, you know, Amazon is at $1,850 because Jeff Bezos is a maniac about client service. And so he's owning the world because of that. Because he cares more about the client than he cares about anybody else. And to me, that's the key to differentiating yourself in this market, is do all the things that other FAs are not willing to do. And I will tell you, doing Supernova and making the 1242 calls is a wonderful step. But adding the agendas and the executive summaries puts you in a category alone from the market. So I throw it out there as, you know, you guys have been very good in terms of persistence in the process. But don't stop making progress in the process until you have those two things in place. Comments?
No, I just think, I think the vision's there. It's good to get a kick in the ass every once in a while to say, to remind us ultimately of what we really want. Well, that's what we want, but it's not going to be easy. I mean, it's going to be sacrifice from everyone to ultimately get there. So.
Yeah. You really have to stay on it. You got to do the executive summary immediately after getting off the call. Otherwise, you'll get bogged down and get behind on it.
We can just cut and paste that into our notes as well, so that'll help us make for meeting notes also.
Yeah, it should. And
frankly, it's better because from a compliance standpoint too. That we're
it's better from every standpoint. It's a pain in the ass. But it's better from every standpoint that we should be doing that.
And don't get hung up in making it anything more than an executive summary of the things you've agreed to do.
And I think even putting that word executive summary back to the clients is a huge terminology, huge way to change things up.
You know, what happened to you but Neil this morning was a very interesting lesson. And I thought, like, how we ended up, because of the way we dealt with him, he called us to give us $1 million because the advisor there, you didn't hear the story because we were on the budget screw.
Okay.
But it's, just pulled in $1 million from a client who had already given us 2.5 a couple of weeks ago. And he put $1 million with another advisor that he did to build a relationship at a bank because he does a lot of construction. The guy lied to him about the fees and everything. But he yanked the money and we picked up $1 million this morning because I educated the crap out of him over the years. And we've always done right by him.
Okay.
All these follow-ups and saying, and I got a call last week and all these things and the constant, some of these, it's just interesting how the minute he thought of putting it, just giving it to us and yanking it to them.
It's really strong. So you say, you know what? That it's worth it. It's worth it, guys, because you didn't have to prospect for $1 million.
No, it was out of nowhere. I mean, I don't think it'll stay here because he's doing a real estate project, but he felt safer putting it here than he did, and he yanked it out of his current advisor, out of the other advisor.
Right. People have, yeah, go ahead.
No, it's a good story.
Yeah.
My biggest fear right now, Rob, is that, and this is, I'm the most guilty of this, or however you want to say it, but we're definitely getting a lift in business from our existing clients, now that we're getting deeper and so forth, but we're not replacing that pipeline with new center of influence relationships for us to do what we're trying to do, we need to get introduced to rich people, and I just, other than lucky referrals right now, I just don't see our base of professionals providing us the type of quality of relationships that we're going to need moving forward. That worries me a lot.
I just finished editing the chapter on mastermind groups and niche mastermind groups and, you know, rereading the testimonials of financial advisors that use mastermind groups. And I probably have four teams in there that over time have been very successful with them. And I just, it just reinforces the process of, you know, taking those centers of influence and turning them into a mastermind group so you get that more intimate, deeper contact on a regular basis. It's really making, turning your centers of influence into really good friends. And that's when things start to happen. And you have to be amazingly patient with it. It's kind of like your partnership. You know, over time your partnership evolves and you become really good friends and you deeply trust each other and, you know, stuff happens that you couldn't have predicted in the sense of, you know, good things. And that's the way a mastermind group evolves over time. It starts out as a bunch of people that have common interests, common missions, but don't have the deep friendships or intimacy. And over years of meeting, you develop that kind of, just think about it. If you had the same relationship with a really good lawyer, a really good CPA, a really good commercial realtor, as you do with your partners, and you met with them on a monthly basis for a couple hours over dinner, what you could do for each other.
I already have that with a CPA. Like, you have that with autonomous, but there's not a lot of referrals there, or you always have constantly going.
Not to knock him, but I think Larry wants to go next level.
Yeah, I don't think Pete's got
Pete's
got the
the client base.
Yeah. He does have some, and we've tapped it. Yeah. Trying to do more.
I'm not knocking him. I just think that Larry has the right idea with that because he's constantly going out to lunch with him.
Larry's done this with people that can provide a lot of $500,000 accounts and $1 million accounts. Yeah. It's just none of us have done this with people that can provide a lot of multi-$1 million accounts.
Yeah.
That's what it says.
Yeah. That is right on target.
So what do you do? I have a good relationship with a lawyer that's evolved really well. But now I'm ready to put the screws to him and be like, okay, now what's in it? Now it's time to start getting us some business.
Have you gone out with him socially?
Not really, but Michelle actually emailed him and suggested that. I told him to. So it's coming to that point. And he called me up and asked me a question the other day, and I think he's a very powerful, he's a very well-connected, liked, respected, you know.
What does he like to do socially?
I don't know. That's what I've got to figure out. I got to figure out
how to find him on Facebook or something.
I got to figure out how to, because he's a really good local connection for us. It's a 40-person law firm. He's a managing partner.
That's a big guy.
They write all the documents for most of the homeowners associations around here. He's a go-to person. He's got HOA contact, like there's no tomorrow. And I didn't realize, and they've got 40%, they've got a good practice. Just not sure, I've never been very good at taking that to the next level. That's where I had to finally just say, hey, you know, I've given you 3 or 4 referrals now. I did what you said. I gave the referrals. I didn't ask for anything. I just kind of, because they were doing the right thing by the client.
Sure, yeah.
You know, now I want something back.
Well, why don't you, first of all, have lunch with him with no agenda.
Okay.
And really get to know him.
I think the key.
So what you do is you spend the first, you know, it's an hour lunch, right? So you spend the first 20, 30 minutes talking about things you have in common. So do that. Get him on Facebook and send him on Facebook and see what he does and see if he can, you know, basically do your homework. And then the next 15 minutes, ask him about his practice. And the last 15 minutes should be him asking you about your practice. And that's the way you should do it with every center of influence. That's your kind of your initial meeting. Why are we the same? You know, why are we the same? That's what we do, right? We ask, where'd you go to school? Where'd you grow up? Where'd you do? We're trying to find commonality. We're from the same tribe, you know. And then you want to know about his practice. And that's when people really, they love to talk about themselves, love to talk about their business. And then he should ask about your business. And that's when you determine, that's when you show him why you're different. Different from everybody else. So if you think about, yeah, if you think about ending every sentence, and that's why we're different. And that's why we're different. You know, we do business with a limited number of clients. They're high net worth.
I've introduced Ryan and Larry to him also. I recently gave them three solid referrals that they've done business with.
Yep.
I'm going to reach out and say, let's go out to lunch. But I think the team does it. Because it, to me, this is like, either you're going to give us business or you're not at this point.
No, it's too soon for that. It's too soon to write him. Yeah, you're like writing him off. You're like, okay, he didn't give me any business in the last 3 months. That's over. You can take time.
Good job with the business we've given him.
Yeah, and so what you want to do is thank him. Instead of going and hammering him, thank him. Congratulate him. And you should go by yourself. You should go by yourself. This is an intimate friend-making lunch. This is not a hammer, you know. Honestly, guys, if you think about how long you're going to be in business, okay? You've got to look at this longer term than I got to close in this week, okay? You really do. So you want to make friends. You want to make him a friend. If he, you know, if he plays golf, if he's a fly fisherman, whatever. Find out what you have in common. Become friends. And just do that. And then see what happens.
Do I bring, because he loves Michelle, do I bring Michelle with me?
You don't bring anybody. No, you go by yourself.
Do him first for lunch, and then following up with 2-3 weeks later with you and Michelle.
Yeah, his wife.
Yeah. Some advisors left our office, and one of the advisors just left. We inherited an account that's a couple $1 million, and the VA and the kids were not really happy with how things are being done. So I went through this process with them for a couple weeks, and we were going through, and they had to raise some money for a sale, and I went through and did all the taxable stuff. It was keeping the CPA looped in and all this other stuff. And basically the CPA reached out to me and was like, hey, I just want to say I'm really impressed with how you handle things, you know, take all the tax stuff into account and blah, 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 blah. You know, like, I just want to, you know, like, I'm not used to working with advisors like you or something like that. So I was like, okay, wonderful. So I was like, I appreciate it. You know, like, I really like the way you do things, blah, blah, blah. Next time I'm down your way, I will reach out and we can get together and catch up kind of thing. So that's where we are right now. So now it's my turn to reach out and catch up with this guy. Now, I don't think I'm going to have a lot in common with this guy. This guy's like, you know, he's definitely grandfatherly age, at least, you know, and nice enough. I mean, I grew up down by where he lives or where his office is, but other than geographic stuff, you know, like, I don't know, who knows, maybe we both like all the same things, but do you suggest that I come out alone, or do you suggest I don't?
No. Same, exact same thing, guys.
Okay.
Exact same deal. You go and call him and have lunch and build a relationship with him.
Okay, so I got another question for you.
Yeah.
I work with this young couple that, they're commercial plumbers, but they're doing really good business. I actually introduced them to CPA a little while back, and I know them from before, so there's a personal relationship with them, but the long and short of it is they just hired a business coach out of Miami, and this coach works with people like a lot of mid-sized companies that are doing a couple million in revenue and also try to help them get to the next level. And the long and short of it is like when my buddy's company hit like the Inc. 500 or Inc. 5000 or whatever it is, this guy actually sent them like a welcome wagon kit, kind of congratulating them and introducing his team and says what they do for people. And my buddy kept it. He was impressed by it, the guy, you know, acknowledging it or whatever. And they recently engaged them, and they've been doing a business analysis for them. And my buddy's really impressed with what this guy's doing. So these people are like former Procter & Gamble managers or something like that. You know, like there's three or four of them, and each one works for a Fortune 500 company kind of thing. How would you suggest courting a group of people like that in terms of, like, I could reach out to them and say, hey, you know, like, you're helping my friend James. He's super impressed with you guys. I work with a lot of people like him. I want to learn more about what you guys are doing. How would you suggest positioning that?
So I first have that conversation, and if it sounded like he was, I mean, look, this guy's a salesman. He's going to be a good businessman. So, number one, do your homework. Look up the company, go on their website, connect with them on LinkedIn, connect with them on Facebook personally. So do your homework so you know who the heck the guy is. Okay?
I have to talk to him first. I don't want to send them friend requests that I don't know who I am, right?
But you want to know.
No, you can. Of course you can. You can always send a friend request. You can just not acknowledge it or turn it down. Who cares? He doesn't know who you are. But the idea is that you want to do your homework on him. Okay? Don't get emotionally attached to friend requests. That's no big deal. So then call him and tell him or in your friend request, say, hey, you're doing business with one of our clients. He thinks an awful lot of you. I'd like to connect with you.
That's a great line. Okay.
Okay. I mean, you're complimenting the guy, and who's going to say no, right? This guy's in business, right? He wants more business. So then you call and say, you know, I'd like to connect with you. Here's my phone number, you know, da-da-da. And I'll be giving you a call in the next couple of weeks or in the next week unless you call me before that. And so he might call you, all right? And then you call him if he doesn't call. And then you call him and say, hey, look, you know, this is Rob Knapp, and I've been talking to my client. He's impressed. And tell him exactly what you just said, okay, that, you know, you sent them a package congratulating them on their making the Fortune 500, and then you followed up, and he kept your card, and he called you when he needed you, and he's been really impressed with the work that you're doing so far. So you're very specific in your compliment.
That sounds very similar to what we were doing, because we've worked with him and did this.
Okay, and then when you talk to him, he knows you're genuinely, that you've done your homework, that you're genuinely impressed, and that you'd like to talk. And so you talk and see if you have, you know, there's an obvious opportunity for both of us. We're not in conflict of any sort. And I'd like to get to know you. And he says, great, let's have lunch. Okay. And you go have lunch. And you find out that the guy's a nice guy and he's genuine. And remember, do the thing, same exact same thing. Find out what you have in common. And then find out, ask him about his background and his business background, which you've already done the homework on, so you know about it. And then ask him about his company and how they differentiate themselves in the market. In a busy market of a lot of different competitors in terms of business coaches, how do you differentiate yourself? Well, we have all, guys that have been 40 years with experience, and they're all Procter & Gamble guys, and they're senior guys. And so we're the real deal, not a bunch of MBAs or kids trying to start a consulting company. And be impressed with that, obviously. And then he'll ask about your business. And again, why are you different? Not why are you the same as everybody else, but what makes you unique? We have a limited number of clients. We run a concierge practice. We run a concierge practice for a limited number of clients, and we give extraordinary service. Well, what does that mean? Well, let me tell you. Every client gets a financial plan. Every client gets 12 contacts. Follow up on that plan once a month. And we have rapid response to your problems. We run every meeting that we have just like it was a board meeting. So we have an agenda for the board meeting. We have the meeting. Then we send out an executive summary. The clarity is amazing, and we get an awful lot done. People love it, and they refer us regularly. But our minimums are rather high, so it's not everybody that can. We can't take care of everybody, but we do an we think an extraordinary job for the people that we do business with.
We're running a monthly poker game. I used to play in a monthly poker game with a bunch of accountants and attorneys when I lived in Fort Lauderdale.
Right. I know.
Are you okay with that?
I love that. I mean, that is a mastermind group with a purpose.
Okay.
You're getting together. It's like having a golf game with a good businessmen that all fit your model. We have play golf every Sunday, every Saturday with a CPA attorney and a commercial realtor. Well, wonderful. You kidding? You're going to crush it. I mean, the guys that used to go out to lunch with other guys from the office every day, I always thought that was the stupidest thing in the world.
Right.
How are they going to help you?
Okay. We're consolidating assets more to free up more time for us to run our practices. We hired another manager to run one of the strategies that we were struggling with, and we're consolidating more assets into managed programs and less into transactional. We're up to about $140 million in managed money now. That's a big deal for us. So
that takes time to go through those transitions too. So that's good. So once you're through it, that should free up some time to do other things.
What percentages? Yeah.
But you always want to be supernovaing your every part of your practice. Focus your investment process, limit the number of options, have your matrix. Don't let anybody in the matrix unless there's a good solid reason for firing somebody. Don't be spending a lot of time, wasting on research that, you could do otherwise. I love research, I love investment process. But limits your time, just like anything else. So
I went to a client's kid's wedding in California last month. It was a neat experience. I was sitting with a bunch of rich people all weekend. You know, so it was, I guess it was confidence building somewhat, and, you know, so it was neat to just spend some time with a lot of people like that. Clearly, I wasn't walking around the wedding passing out business cards or anything, but there's a lot of people now who know who I am and know who my wife is, and you'll see if anything ever comes of it kind of thing. But I don't want to, like, I was sitting at the table with the bride's mother, the groom's father, his girlfriend, you know, the maid of honor's parents, you know, the orthopedic surgeon in Cleveland, and, you know, father used to be a financial writer for U.S. News, and his girlfriend's the art editor for Kiplinger's magazine. You know, like, it was an impressive crowd, and I wasn't even sitting with the rich people, you know.
Well, it would be a very natural thing to reach out to the financial writer for the New York Times.
Right.
That's not even a stretch.
That's a good point. Well, I'm actually, you know, his daughter-in-law is going to be bringing, she's bringing me on as her financial advisor, so I'll be working with his son and her.
Oh, good. Okay. Oh, great. So you're already there.
Yeah.
But I would read his columns, become comfortable with him. He's written a book, read his book, and then reach out to him and just, you know, make friends with him. I mean, that'd be a very interesting friend to have.
Yeah.
He'd probably be a good client, and at, you know, at this stage, he'd probably be interested in, you know, a smart young guy that wants to learn. You know, they like, people get to be my age, they want to mentor people.
Right. You don't want all that knowledge to die with you.
That's right. Why do you think I do this?
Because you like being frustrated by people who know what they need to do yet refuse to do it.
Well, the good news is that you're in the majority, okay? The bad news is that it's... no, there's only good news. You're making progress. You keep moving forward. That's the key.
Do you know Tim's not here anymore?
You know, it's like having a personal trainer. The key is that you're going to get off the path. The question is, how long are you going to stay off the path?
No, he's not. Did you know that Tim is not in his office anymore? They moved him?
They moved who?
Tim.
Really? Yeah. Yeah, he's in Florida.
Yeah, well, Tim Burns was in Florida, but he was our direct manager at this office.
He was in a complex and was also based out of our office, and now they just moved the complex seat up to West Palm Beach now, so we're going to have a new manager for our day-to-day decisions now.
Oh, I didn't know that. No, that is new news.
That is new news.
Our new manager is actually was one of the final two people that we were thinking about going with 10 years ago when we left our last firm. He was running the Morgan Stanley office in town. And we almost went with him, but went with Smith Barney instead. So now we're going to get a chance to work with him.
And what's his name?
Mike Higgins.
Okay.
He used to run the Merrill office in Boston, one of the big ones up there. The Morgan Stanley office in Boston, and then came down to Florida about 10 years ago. He seems like he's the kind of guy you want to go drinking with. That's the main thing. Yeah. Seems like a good guy. So now it appears that Morgan Stanley is a lot more focused on talent retention and identifying the teams that are doing things right. So our stock has been rising around here. You know?
He came in and complimented us. I mean, Larry, myself, and Ryan. It's been good.
They're trying to replicate teams like ours. Manage money, no problem, nice people. That's
that's all they want, managed money at this point.
And he knew your numbers, right?
Well, when he came over, I sat down with him for 5 minutes and went through some quick numbers with him.
He knew it, though.
We unfortunately, as the industry, there's not a lot of teams that are growing.
I'm right.
Me being one of the teams that are growing was a big issue, or is a big issue.
We haven't had the big sit-down yet. He just got here 2 weeks ago, and he's sitting down with all the high flight risk people right now. So we're not deemed a flight risk right now, so we haven't had our big one-on-one yet.
So where did Tim go then?
Tim is up in West Palm. He's still head of the complex, but
okay.
They just the head of the complex from Boca Raton to West Palm.
Okay. They're going to be consolidating the other local office in Boca Raton into our office. So our office is going to go from 70 advisors to like 110 advisors.
Okay.
But there's four offices of Morgan Stanley in Boca Raton.
Yeah. So,
well, if you guys would do me a favor, just brief him on Supernova and put in a plug if you could. I'd appreciate it.
I did speak with him and let him know that we were doing that. He is familiar with it. He did recognize that. We told him what we were doing, how we were, you know, just the quick two-minute story on what we've tried to do over the last year, for argument's sake. So, you know, he is aware of Supernova.
Thank you. Great. Thank you very much. The reality is, guys, nobody prospects, okay? And you can cold call, you can have seminars, but the reality is, in today's world, the way you're going to get big clients is through these centers of influence. Whether you do it as a mastermind group, a poker game, or just meeting monthly with a center of influence over lunch. That's how it happens. And you've got to become friends, though. You can't just be a business relationship. That's the part that people miss. Because people will help friends. They don't necessarily help business acquaintances. And that's the part. So you've got to get past that idea of just reciprocity. It isn't just reciprocity. Because he's that guy that you were talking about, that lawyer, he's already got somebody he gives business to, okay, that he's built, had friendship over the years. You've got to displace that other guy. And you say, well, I don't know if it's worth it. Well, the guy's the head of a 40-person law firm. It's worth it.
Yeah, it's actually a relationship that came from Michelle, my fiance, and she thinks he's just a top-notch lawyer.
So a guy like that, you got to schmooze him a little. He's got a big ego.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's almost, and I don't want to oversimplify this, but it's almost as if saying that it's going to be very difficult to have a COI that we can't be friends with socially.
You have to be friends with them socially in order to get anything out of them.
I would say that that's pretty accurate.
Okay, so for me, I'm 37.
Yep.
Most of the established attorneys and CPAs and all that stuff are going to be older than 37. There's some, of course, but... So do you suggest that I try to focus more on activity kind of stuff, like golf or tennis or special interests?
Well, you get golf, you got cards, you got special interests. Those are all things to look at.
All right, so one other thing. How would you present this? When my grandfather died, he was involved with this thing called Honor Flight, where they fly veterans up to D.C. and do like this big dog and pony show for them and make them feel loved.
That's a wonderful thing. Yeah.
You're familiar with it?
Yes, I am.
So I actually told him that I would help support that cause kind of thing, and I would become involved in that in a capacity. So I actually found out that one of the advisors that I currently do some work with is involved with that particular charity down here. And I've asked him about it and so forth. He's actually chaperoned, some people on the trip, and he's a veteran himself. So my question would be, like, how would you suggest I did that? Do you suggest that I kind of approached him and said, hey, I'm going to be doing this as well, and tried to forge some type of, say, hey, if anything comes to this, like work together with him on it kind of thing?
He's probably, how old is he?
55.
Yeah, he's not doing it for the business.
He is. Well, he's not doing it for the business. For him, it's a moral imperative. He's very
correct. So you're not
a Sonic Lodge, and he's like a an army vet, and he's very into the moral side of it.
I wouldn't even talk to him about it. I would talk to him about the fact that you tell him your story. Don't talk about business.
Right.
Okay. He's doing it for the moral side. If he thinks you're doing it for the business, he's going to be offended.
Right. Well, I'm not
okay,
I'm doing it because my grandfather loved it so much, but I'm just saying it would be one of the first charitable things that I would be involved in. And, just if I meet people or whatever, you know what I'm saying?
Don't worry about it. He's not in it for the business. He's probably not approaching anybody. He's going to be very passive when it comes to prospecting. You do it. You tell him about your grandfather. Tell him you're going to get involved. You'd love to help. Any way he would suggest, make friends with him, and do it for all the right reasons. And if something happens, great. If something doesn't, remember, okay, what's the profile of these people you're taking? They're 90 plus. Okay?
Your family? Pretty soon. It's going to be the Vietnam guys soon. But yeah. Most of World War II guys are dying now. So yes, World War II guys, now Korean War and Vietnam, they're getting into more.
Right. So there's very few guys there that are going to be good prospects. So this is truly a charity. This is not a target-rich environment.
No, I'm thinking more like I could potentially get involved with other people that are helping the cause. I'm not trying to like take a guy to DC and get him to give me a discount on the way, that kind of thing.
Right. Yeah, so it would be other people that are involved in it, of course, just like any charity that you work on. Sure, yeah. That's legitimate. There's usually a CPA involved in a... I mean, you'd have to give me the profile of the organization. I could show you how to think about it. But I would say that's correct, yeah. That's the way I did it with any charities that I was involved with. Usually I got together with a CPA and played golf and had lunch, and they became friends, and then we did some business.
Down here in Boca, there's so many financial advisors. And there's so many people that are so deeply entrenched in like almost anything. Like no matter what I go to, I feel like someone from my office has like been there for 10 years. Do you suggest just going in and just saying, screw it, I'm gonna go in here, and maybe some people will like me as opposed to liking them, or I actually do most of my prospecting outside of Boca. Because number one,
you're gonna click with some people.
Right? Yeah,
they don't click with.
It is so established here. But number two, Boca is a very Jewish community, and I don't identify as Jewish as well. So that's that kind of
he's a mensch. He's not for us.
Whatever. I'm just trying to think in terms of what I could get more involved with. It's not like I'm going to be the first person to ever think, oh, I'm not interested in the museum. I don't want to be on the board of the museum or the board of the symphony. Like, that would be total imposter. People would know I was totally going to crash. You know?
You fall asleep during the...
not that bad. My wife's into that stuff. But you understand what I'm saying. Like,
it doesn't hold the...
So, do you have any people in other parts of the country that are deeply entrenched in any types of civic groups or social groups or charitable groups that you thought, wow, that was something I'd never think of? Like, one of my trainers when I first joined the firm, he was part of the Jacksonville Harley-Davidson Club. And, like, he crushed it with the Harley guys, you know? There's another guy in the office next door, Gene Fiamma, and he's in the Harley drill team where he does precision riding with all these Harley guys, and he's got all their accounts, you know, like.
Where are they going to be moving Harley production to?
Whatever, but I'm just saying, like, is there anything that kind of surprised you that you've heard other people involved in? You think, well, maybe that might be an untapped marketplace, you know?
Well, I mean, one of the things that you do is you go with your passions. And those guys clearly didn't go buy a Harley just to become part of the club to open accounts. I mean, he liked Harleys, and that's why he did it. And then he ended up getting business from it. So if you're a golfer, then you use your golf club, and that becomes the natural for you. Sure, there are things that you can, I mean, one of the things that I found, I mean, I'm a fly fisherman now. Going to a lodge for a week with a group of business people that are very successful, I mean, you build relationships and you make friends and you do business with them. Going on trips. You know, let's say you want to go on, you know, there'd be, you know, where you guys are, there's tons of fishermen, you know, that go out on, you know, fishing is a passion. It's a very simple thing to do is to get a group of guys together and go fishing.
Yeah, I know a guy that does a lot of the billfish tournaments, and that's where he prospects.
Yeah, and then you have, you know, one of the things is to get to know a concierge travel agent. And they'll put together exclusive trips with people, and you tell them the kind of people that you want to travel with. And they'll put together a trip that's lovely, it's expensive usually, but, you know, then you get wealthy people on the trip, and you'll do business. I mean, I did that, used to give talks, you know, on the trip, and they loved it, you know, and I did business from that.
I'm doing a trip in October with a guy who owns one of the Patek Philippe dealers in Chicago. He's one of the biggest owners out there, and he invited me, and they're taking us all to Geneva. And it's only the top 20 clients that are going.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a gold mine. The
money that's going to be on that trip is unreal, because I know what I've had to spend to go on that trip.
Yeah.
Maybe you can talk for 20, 30 minutes.
Well, like, it's even that's better. Gonna... These are all people who are passionate about the watches.
Right.
It's all people going to what he's saying is that...
But if you talk about it in there, then you're the resident expert, then you have the...
Well, Stan already is introducing everybody. He's sending out emails introducing everybody who's who does what for a living. I'm the only financial... I am the only person who's a financial advisor on the entire trip. And, I mean, I can only imagine
what
the criteria to get on that trip. Not that I have that. You know, it's like, but I got to be... It's a really interesting, it's a very interesting opportunity to spend. So,
that's a perfect example. That's a perfect example.
That's a perfect example.
Of what?
It's a perfect example of a fabulous opportunity. Okay?
Now, what you... The watches are my passion. And I And I've spent a tremendous amount of money with this guy over the years. I invited him on this trip. And it's only 20 of his top clients.
And so the game would be every year you go.
Yeah.
And you meet people and they have other things in common and you go and you travel with them, you go to other sporting events with them, and you become friends, maybe all become clients. I mean, those 20 people could be your whole book.
Those 20 people, he's telling me that these are some of the wealthiest people. Some of these people I'm going to know who are very well-known people that are coming, he says.
Right.
I'm going to be shocked at who's going to be on the trip.
Yeah, those 20 people could be your whole book, okay? So that's what I mean. That's the sort of opportunity that, first of all, you had to spend a lot of money to get into that group.
I don't even want to talk about it. It's not bad.
Yeah, but you've done it, so congratulations.
Yeah.
He's a genius. He's a genius for putting this trip together.
Yeah, I mean, apparently he paid for Michelle and I to both go first class tickets round trip to Geneva, touring the paddock factory, which nobody ever gets into with all these people.
Wow.
Yeah, it's incredible, and everybody said it's basically like an adult tour. And everybody spends the whole week together, going through the paddock factory. I think it was the jackpot of opportunities.
So your goal is to just make friends, okay?
That's it. Not even to
That's
talk
it.
About business or anything.
Never,
oh.
never.
Talk Michelle, about. My fiance is a lot better at trying to think of the right word.
Socializing.
Yeah, she's a lot better at the social part than I am.
Well, you know, my wife always carried my cards, and she got me as much business as I ever got.
Yeah, I admit it. Because Michelle's a lawyer, and she's a government lawyer, so she's an assistant attorney general on consumer protection down here.
Awesome. Strong girl. Strong lady.
You know, people talk to her, and she does good by people, so they, you know, it comes off right.
Right. You'll have fun. Concentrate on having fun.
Oh, that's easy.
Yeah, and get out of your comfort zone and talk to people. Best way to talk to people is do what I just suggested. Find out what you have in common and ask about them. Ask about their life.
Yeah, people love to talk about themselves.
They love, I don't care how big an ego. You know, they all love talking about themselves.
Absolutely.
So have fun. But that's a perfect example, Ryan, of what to do. The other thing to do is to ask your clients and have them introduce you. Ask your clients what they're involved in. Tell them, look, at this stage of the business, I have some time, I have some money, and I'd like to get involved more in the community. What are you involved in? What would you suggest that I become involved in? Then they will take you and introduce you to the director. You have lunch and you listen to them. You interview two or three or four organizations. I just wrote a chapter on this for my new book. And you make up your mind which do you think would be the best one for you, and then you get involved. And your goal is to become president of the organization. It will take you 7 years. And you work your way up the process. In the meantime, you will have established real credibility in the community, and then you move from one organization to another. You do two at a time. So the book should be done this July, so I should be able to get you a copy pretty quick.
You get autographed copies?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay, so, yeah, do that. Have fun. Give me some stories, guys. That's what I need. Stories for my book.
Okay.
Give me some success. Go ahead.
I have a feeling this watch thing is going to be one heck of a story.
I think it could be a game changer.
Because the funny thing, He's going to come back with Mick Jagger's account. Watch.
I can't. Hey. He's telling me that there's two famous people that are going to be on here, but he won't tell me who they are. But the only thing I would say is the people that are buying these types of watches have got to have very deep pockets.
Of course. Yeah, they've got very discretionary money. It's like art. You know, they're going. Okay, guys. Have
appreciate
a good month.
It.
Follow up on these ideas and give me some stories, okay?
All right.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.